rest of the book, we find out also it's talking about a little different subject, talking about sonship and being in God's family. You see, there's a little different things in being in favor with God and being in the family of God. So let's look at this as we read these verses of scriptures this hour. And now, little children, there's three things I'd like for you to look at in this verse of scripture, especially these three words. Abide is one of them. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, that's the second word, appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed. That's the third word I'd like for you to put a circle around. Before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. So let us pray. Father Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for bringing, Lord, down a close of this day. Allow us, Lord, to look back and see the mercy that you have showed upon us this day, for allowing us to have the great blessings of life that you have given us each day, even down this hour, Lord, that you're giving us life right now. And Lord, it's your life, it's not ours, and we just thank you that every breath that we breathe, every heartbeat, Lord, it's in our bodies. It's a gift from you, and we want to thank you and praise you and allow us to understand how good and how merciful that you are. And we want to thank you, Lord, how you have touched the lives of people here and how you're continuously to do so. And Father, we might see how great that you are and what a loving Savior that we serve this hour, that you care so much about us. And Lord, we thank you. Although we do not deserve it, but you deserve our honor. Lord, you deserve our prayers. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for being Jesus Christ and what you've done, that you was willing to die that terrible, horrible death in my place and the place of all people, is willing to accept what you done on Calvary's cross and accept that, Lord, the forgiveness of sin. So we thank you, we praise you, Lord, what you're going to do and continuously do in the lives of your people. And we pray, God, again, for the ones who've mentioned again, and Father, Lord, the ones that are on our heart this hour, the unspoken request again. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, as I said, there's one thing to be in God's favor, another thing to be in God's family. God's family is, being born again. And then, as we know, when we're born again, being in his favor. But these two verses I just read is kind of a summary of really of the fellowship. And as I said, there's three words I'd like for you to outline, or either mark in your Bible if you do. Circle them if you need to. Abide, appear, and ashamed. And these three words. We'll take this first word, abide, here this night. Verse 28 again. And now, little children, abide in him. Now, 11 times in this chapter 2, he's talking about this word, abide. That's a key word in this chapter, abide. Walking close to the Lord, being real close to Jesus Christ. He also talks about this in John, the Gospel of John in chapter 15 and verse 4 and 5. It says, abide in me. And it's talking about the vine and the branches. Y'all all know about a grapevine. And you know those vines got to stay close to that branch, because it's going to produce the fruit through the vine. That, abide in me and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He's just saying for us as Christians that we must be close to the Lord, must stay close to the Lord, that our lives might be fruitful, because he bears fruit through us. It's not of us like the branches on a grapevine. It's not us. It's being connected to the branch. We are connected to Jesus Christ. It's what Christ does through us and in us. And we need to stay close fellowship with Jesus Christ, that our lives might be fruitful, also beneficiary to our Savior that died for us. Now, abide, there's three things we need to abide in. I talked a little about this last Wednesday night. You need to abide in your church. If you want to be a fruitful Christian, you want to be a beneficiary to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, or people, believe it or not, you got to abide in your church. And we thank you, Lord, for a great commitment we have here each time that we open these doors. Abide in the church. 1 Timothy 3 and 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how that you ought to behave thyself in a house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We know that the church is the foundation, the ground of truth that God's working through this hour. The church is a pillar of the foundation for our family, for our country. And we begin to see this more and more in our countries and other countries where I can't remember what country it was. I was watching the news where they have put away the Bible. They've put away the geocristic ethics, which means they was founded on the doctrine of the Bible. And we find out that really, even they put the Bible away, they find out even it help or hurts them in their financial affairs. One of the things we're having a problem with in our country, you're going to see more and more financial problem in our country. It's all dealing with putting away the Word of God, putting God out of our life. So we need to abide, to be the foundation, the ground of the truth, and support. You need to support your church and support what it really means. And all of us, we need to do that. As Christians, and you know how you have certain responsibilities, and people don't really know this, but you got certain responsibility to the church of the Lord. I mean, there's certain responsibility that God called every one of us to do. First of all, you know that you owe your church your presence. There's a lot of members of this church is not coming present. They're not here. They won't come. But you see, they have responsibility, and every one of us do, whether you accept that responsibility or not, but you owe your church your presence. A lot of people say, well, the church is the universal church. It's the invisible church. Several times in the Bible, the church is used, especially in the New Testament. Very few times is it used as a universal church. Most of the time, that word church is used as a local church. All the letters, all the epistles, the Romans, the Ephesians, the Galatians, and on and on and on, was wrote to a local group of people. Now, you owe that. A lot of say, well, I'm a member of the invisible church. The invisible church, well, they must be because they're invisible. I don't see them very often, so they must be invisible. You know, a man went to the doctor, and the nurse met him, and he says, you know, I'm invisible. She went back and told the doctor. They got a man out in the waiting room, says he's invisible. Well, the doctor says, well, go tell him we can't see him. But that's the way it is a lot of times today. You know, we just don't see these people. It's invisible. Your presence here tonight and your presence supporting the local church says that you're in agreement and have commitment to what this church is trying to do. Reach lost souls, build up the house of God, build up people, strengthen them. Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking to assembling ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another as so much the more as you see the day that Jesus Christ is going to appear one of these days, that he's a day that's approaching. Support, the church is a support group. And people, we need church more than I believe we've ever needed before. Support, support, support. As I said, there's so many families and so much difficulties going on in our world and our country today, and we need a support group. And this ought to be the greatest support group they are anywhere around. No matter what type of problem you have, there's somebody in a church has been through similar problem like you have, and they will help you as a support group get out of that problem, go through that problem. You'll have someone to go with you. But you owe your church. That's your responsibility. You owe your church your presence. But you also owe your church your prayers, too. I know that you pray. This is a praying bunch of people, and I know that you pray for your church. Well, you need to. You need to pray for your, you owe it to your church. And to pray for your church and what Christ is doing in your local church. Every local church, people need to pray and support their church through prayer. You know, that's the power of the church. That's the reason we have a prayer wheels on Sunday evening to pray for our services. I hope you pray before you come to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I hope you pray for the church. Mention the church and what Christ is doing. So you owe your church your prayers. But also, you know, you owe your church also that you participate in the things that's going on in your church. You know, I'm talking to you tonight because most of us do that. But you see, there's so many people don't. But you need to get involved. And one thing that people do whenever they're saved and start coming to church, they need to get involved. They need to get involved in Sunday school. You need to get involved on Wednesday night. But then you need to get involved in something that's going on in church. Get you a job. There's plenty of jobs to do. And you need to get involved. You owe your church that. Get involved in everything. And then the other word that we need to abide in, as I said, you abide in your church, but also you need to abide in the Word of God. Now, we have responsibilities also there to abide in the Word of God. Now, to start with, we owe it to ourselves to abide in the Word of God. It's for you more than anybody else that you abide in the Word of God. In the Gospel of John 5 and 39 says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. I'm going to tell you, you need to meet Jesus every day. I hope you have a time alone that you get off and read your Bible. That's the sweetest part of my day is when I get in my study and I open up the Bible and I start studying my Bible, and I have some quiet time with the Lord, just a few minutes sometimes, before I go into trying to prepare a sermon or looking for a sermon. I always go into my quiet time with the Lord. I hope you have a quiet time that you might read Scripture. You don't need to read a lot of Scripture. Sometimes you'd be all right if you do, but just read a few verses and just let the Lord just talk to you, because you owe it to yourself, really, to be in the Word of God and to abide in the Word of God. Also, it says in Acts 17 and 11, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Talking about the Berean Christians, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You know, they had this readiness of mind, willing to be to hear the word of God and have a teachable spirit. Now, you know, you Sunday school teachers, that as someone that don't have a teachable spirit, you can't hardly teach them. And I know as pastors, they need to have a teachable spirit. So they said the readiness of mind and searching the Scriptures daily. They stayed in the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so or not. So we owe it to ourselves, and we need to stay in the Word of God. Also, we owe it to ourselves to store up the Word of God. We need to store up the Word of God. In Psalms 119:11, the Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, when you read the Word of God, you store up the Word of God. A lot of people can remember our Scriptures and say that you ought to remember our Scriptures, but I can't contain it. I remember the day, tomorrow it's gone. I don't know about you, it's hard for me to remember Scriptures. But the Holy Spirit of God recalls a lot of time verses of Scripture to me. And as I study the Word of God, it's called recall. And you know, that's what pastors, what preachers do. A lot of times I call some verses of Scriptures and I talk about things that I didn't even have on my mind. But as time goes on, and every time you get maybe some problems or difficult here and difficult there, things happen up, you the Word of God, you find out, come to your heart and your mind, and it'll help you through it. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. How precious, you know, what the Word of God, this Bible, means to you tonight. I mean, how precious it is. You know, you ever heard anybody that had the Bible tucked away from them, maybe a prisoner of war? How many of you know Clyde Thomas? You remember Clyde Thomas? And I always remember every time that he told us about, you know, he's a prisoner of war, and he had his little old New Testament. They go into combat, they got a New Testament, and they took his little old New Testament away from him while the point of a bayonet. You know, that don't mean too much to us today in the country that we're living, because we have several copies of the Bible anytime you want to read it. But if you couldn't go to church nowhere, you Christians here this hour, and you couldn't go to church nowhere, and you didn't even have a copy of the Bible, and you was off in a foreign land, wouldn't that be something? I'm telling you. So you ought to yourself to store up the Word of God. And I can just imagine, though, and I've read a lot of, books on different ones. I've got prisoner of war and how they would get together, and different ones would quote what they could remember, you know, of the Bible they read. And they'd put it together, you know, and they'd get together and have a meeting when they could. And they'd bring the Scriptures they could remember themselves and put it together. I'm telling you how precious this Word is. It's just so precious to us to know that you ought to store up this Word of God. We owe it to ourselves to store up this Word of God. We also owe it to others to share this Word with them, to share this Word. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the Word of life. This is the Word of life. Y'all know that? Without the Word of life, you know, I'd be dead tonight. I'm not talking about physical dead, but I'm going to tell you, I was dead without the Word of God. You know, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I had to hear the Word of God to be saved, for life to come into this old dead body of mine. I had to hear the Word of God. And I heard the Word of God. And it ought to be very, very precious to us, doing it. Holding forth the Word of God of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. And holding forth and holding out in front of us as a mirror to this world. It looks sometimes like this little world is winning. It looks like the devil is winning sometime. But hold forth this Word of God, because it's life. And even though it might look like the old devil's winning, but you know, see, I don't believe we've labored in vain. You know, we labor to put forth our effort to build a church for the Lord Jesus Christ, for souls to be saved here at Pleasant Hill. And sometimes it's hard. You know, it looks like sometimes we're just living. We build up, we fall back, seem like, but we're not laboring in vain. Everything we do for the Lord, He remembers, and we're not laboring in vain. So hold forth that Word of God, it says, and we owe it to ourselves to share, owe it to other people to share the Word of God. That's one reason that we give Bibles out when people are saved and baptized. Because that's the greatest thing that you can do, is give out the Word of God. And like I've told you several times, if I go down to Mexico and get a chance to put a Bible in someone's hand that's never even owned a book in their entire life. They've never owned a pencil, never owned a book, they've never owned anything. But you place the Word of God in their language, in their hand, and they know what it is. You see that their face expressions, and you just imagine what's going on. And you never could have a Bible. You know, that's expensive. But someone in this world, and that's what the Gideons do, and they're going to be here last Sunday this month, and they do a real good job. But I just thought I would just mention that to you. But the thing you need to abide in your church, you need to abide in the Word of God. Also, you know what you need to abide in the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 16 tell us, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh, to stay in the Spirit. How do we stay in the Spirit? Day by day, we yield ourselves to the indwelling Spirit of God day by day. You know, if I don't yield myself day by day, I mess up. Every day I have to yield myself to the Spirit of God. That's one reason you need to do it early in the morning. If you can just get up and read a verse or two of Scripture and have a prayer. And that's why the first thing I do is I go in my study of a morning. And I have a little devotion and have a little prayer. And then I have to yield myself all over every day. You know, every day it's a battle, isn't it? It's a battle. I'm telling you, every day it's a battle. And we just owe it day by day to yield yourself to the Spirit. But the second word's appearing, or appear. Little children, abide in him. We know what that means now. That when he shall appear, that's Jesus Christ. Now, there's several words in the New Testament describing the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here it's described that, you know, his appearing. Well, when he shall appear, the invisible Christ is going to become visible. It could happen today. If it don't come today, it could happen tomorrow. The invisible Christ, I never saw him. But these are going to come visible one day. For those believers that's fixed to be caught up to the air at that time of the rapture of the church, he's going to come visible. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, there's three appearings of Jesus Christ. There's three appearings of Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 9. There's three verses of scriptures, and I'll read these verses of scripture to you. To start with, in 9 and 26, this is Jesus Christ's first appearing in 9 and 26. Because of the sacrifice he made. It says, for then must I be often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice from himself. He appeared. Now that's 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ appeared to put away sin for you and for me today. That's his first appearing. That's his past appearing, that Jesus Christ appeared to put away sin for you and I on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, what he'd done for you and what he'd done for me. That was his first appearing on this earth in flesh and blood 2,000 years ago. He appeared then. A lot of people saw Jesus Christ. But see, we find out then his second appearing after that time, whenever he was crucified, buried, rose again, ascended, where did he ascend to? His second appearing now, it says there in verse 24 of 9, Hebrews 9 and verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. That's talking about the temple and the tabernacle made with hands, which are the figure of the truth. They were just examples. They were just figure of the truth. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Listen, it said, the sweetness of it. To appear in the presence of God, it said now, for us. For us. Jesus Christ right now is appearing for us in the presence of God eternity, in the holies of holies, not made with hands, but in heaven, past in his presence appearing. And then one of these days there's going to be a future appearing, and that is in verse 28 of Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The next time he's coming, not on the cross of Calvary. He done that already. The second time, but without sin unto salvation. That is the future appearing of Jesus Christ. It says there in 1 John 2 and 28, as I read here to start with, but now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, he's coming. for us to have confidence. And that word to be, have your life open for before him. A freedom of speech, open. Looking for his appearing. Looking for his appearing, as I read that Hebrews 9 and 28. Read it again. Looking for his appearing. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear. Be looking for him at his appearing. That there were looking to be on tiptoe to see that when he's a coming, to be anticipating that. As I said, if Jesus Christ don't come back today, be looking for him tomorrow. I don't really believe that most of us really believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back. But I do believe the Bible says he's going to come back, and he may come back any day. Any day. And also looking for his appearing. And anticipating, looking for his appearing. But then it says, loving his appearing. In 2 Timothy 4 and 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, it says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not for me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That love his appearing. Now, do you love Jesus? Yes. You know, there's a difference there. There's a difference in loving Jesus than loving his appearing. There's a difference there. Do you love Jesus? I remember whenever I was a young boy and lived in Miami, and I had my young brother Lamar was a lot younger than me, and I think I've told this before. I always think about this when I read this verse of scriptures. And we was in Miami, and my mother wasn't home. My daddy said he finna go down the road and do some business for me and my brother stay in the house. Now, we had just bought two new water guns. And he said, don't you be squirting the water in this house. Well, he cranks up and leaves, and guess what two boys done? Around inside that house we went. We had water dripping off the walls, off everything, the table. My mom would tell you, we would fill them up. We wet each other, wet the whole house. And about that time, I heard somebody drive up under the carport. It was my daddy. Now, I love my daddy, but I certainly didn't love his appearing. And I ain't going to tell you what happened to me, but I'm telling you. And the reason I'm saying this is because there's a lot of Christians. Every Christian ought to love Jesus. And I believe if you're saved, you will love Jesus Christ. But their life and some things they're doing, in the way they're living, if Jesus Christ was appear today, I don't think they would love his appearing. I don't think they would love his appearing. And that's true of me sometimes. And that's true of you sometimes. The way that we live our life, and sometimes when Jesus Christ would come, I don't think we would love his appearing. I really don't. Living for his appearing in Titus 2, 12 and 13, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. Looking for the blessed hope. See, looking. Living for this hope. Looking for this blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. You see, as I said, there's not much hope. I'm telling you, there is not much hope we can look for in this world, in this country we're living in. It don't look like they're going to have any hope through our government. It looks like things are going to get worse to me. And I don't want you to think about I'm looking down, but I just don't believe it's going to get much better. You can't look for hope in this country or in this world we're living in, because I believe it's going to get a lot worse. But anyhow, we can look for hope, and that is look for that appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That ought to inspire us this hour. You know, we don't never know when he's coming. You know, whenever you have an inspection, I remember when, you know, in the Army, you have the inspection. You know when you're going to have the inspection, you better keep everything as tidy as you can. Maybe in a business, you know, you're going to have an audit, and you don't know when it is, or a bank, and you don't know when it's going to come, so you got to keep things up to date always. So that's be us, be ready at his appearing. And then as we get on just a few minutes of this word, ashamed. Be not ashamed before him at his coming. There's three truth suggested words in there. Be not ashamed, but you see that one of these days, I want to tell you, our Savior will come. Now we will be ashamed. It's going to be a whole lot that we're not going to enjoy to see his presence. Appearing. Now, this appearing in three different ways, really, all Christians shall appear before Jesus Christ. We know that, don't we? 2 Corinthians and then the book of Romans, we know we're all going to appear before Jesus. Jesus Christ is going to appear, but we're all going to appear before him one of these days, every one of us. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We're going to appear, every one of us, as Christians. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ. That's our judgment. Not judgment for sin, but judgment for what we've done in these bodies. And what for the Lord Jesus Christ, things we haven't done for the Lord Jesus Christ, be burned away. Now, Romans 14, 10, 11, 12 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't worry about what that brother's doing, because you're going to stand too, and I'm going to stand, and I ain't going to say, well, that person, they didn't do this and they didn't do that, because you're not going to look around, because you're going to be looking at Jesus Christ. It's going to be you. It's not going to be your husband, not going to be your wife, not going to be your mother and your father. It's going to be you. That's what it says there. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. How much plainer can God make it? Every one of us is going to give account before God. Now that's the appearing that we're going to do, the appearing. But then being acceptable. Ephesians 1 and 6 it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now if you're saved, you're accepted in the beloved. You're born again, you're accepted in the beloved. But now there's a difference again in these two words, the being accepted and being acceptable. There's a difference. Mothers knows this more probably than fathers do. You get your kids ready, go to town, get your kids ready to go to church, and you know it's been raining outside, and little Billy wants to go outside, so you go out on the porch, but don't you get in the yard, don't you get off this porch, you got your clothes ready, we're ready to go to church, don't you do it. And then you know what boys will do. They just got to splatter one time in that mud hole. Get mud all over them. Runs back in the house, mama sees him. Now he's acceptable in the beloved, but he's not acceptable, is he? How about the little girls a lot of times when they go in and get in mama's makeup and get in that lipstick and that rouge or that powder and have it all over the house and all over them. Now they're acceptable. Oh, you love them to death. But they're not very acceptable. Is that right? Same thing the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us. We're accepted in the beloved. But sometimes, you know, the things that go on in our life, we're not very acceptable. The dirt of this world. I tell you, the dirt of this world. And be not ashamed when we shall stand before him. Be not ashamed. Because it says, you know, and little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and be not ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. Now, he's going to appear. And when he does, I wonder if we kind of shriek back of shame because we're not very acceptable. And we're not really loving his appearing. We're loving him, we're accepted, but we're not acceptable because of what we do in our life. And here it is, I wonder if we might be embarrassed. Can you imagine, now you think back in your life since you've been saved, and you was doing some things that you knew was against Jesus. Anybody ever done anything that they knew since been saved was wrong against Jesus? Do your head like this if you're guilty. Well, I don't reckon nobody's guilty. Now, what if Jesus Christ would have come at that time when he was watching that HBO? What if he'd been coming at that time, you know, that and caught us red-handed, you know, at his coming, about maybe stealing something? When an old nature, how about whenever you let somebody have half of your mind whenever you don't have enough of mind to go around? That temper. How about that lustful look, and there Jesus appears at that same time? Or how about those lotto tickets that you buy, and there you have in your hand? Appearing of Jesus Christ. How about some Christian with that beer in their hands fixing to sip a little social drink, and there Jesus appears all the way up the rapture. You're trying to get rid of that beer can, it's stuck to your hand and you can't get rid of it. How about those cigarettes? How about that eating when you ought not be eating all those food? And all kind of things we know is our attitude that we have with our brothers and sisters. You just got through talking about somebody at the supper table preacher mostly have them for dinner. And there Jesus Christ appears. Would we be ashamed? Would we be ashamed? I'm going to tell you, we'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed, and you'd be ashamed. And that'll help you a lot of times in some things that we do or don't do or should do. That appearing, because when he appears, we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account one of these days. And you know what? I don't believe it's going to be very long whenever Jesus Christ comes back. I don't believe it's going to be very long as he comes back to the rapture church. But it may not, it might be 100 years. It might be 50 years. It might be 25. It might be 10 seconds. I don't know. But I do know this. If he don't come back, each and every one of us, Jesus Christ is going to make a solo flight that you're going to be with him absent from the body's presence with the Lord. You're going through the door of death. He's going to appear, and you're going to appear before him. We know that. And then we're going to give account. And it's going to be just that quick, and it's going to be over with, but you're going to give account. So abide, appear, and ashamed, these three words. Help us to bridge this bridge of being in the favor of God and being in the family of God. We're all in the family of God, but sometimes we're not in the favor with God. Just like that I have three sons, and they'll always be my sons. But sometimes they're not in fellowship with me, and they're not in favor with me. And your kids also. And we're the same way with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we're just out of favor with him. And, you know, we out of fellowship with him also will always be in sonship with him. That will never change. As you had children, that'll never change. There's nothing you can do about that. They're always going to be your children, no matter how old they get. But then that fellowship, it will change. So we thank you tonight. The ones that's here, I hope you invite someone to be with us next Wednesday night and invite somebody with us Sunday. Be praying, as I said, for your church. If we do what the Lord tells us to do, I'm telling you, we'll have a happier day tomorrow doing what Jesus Christ tells us to do. If nothing else, we'll stand at this time and be dismissed this hour. I hate to keep you any longer, but I would really like to keep going. But thank you again. We have so many. It really needs our prayers. And also our phone calls and whatever that we need to do that we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Brother Vernon, you mind give us a benediction, please?